On the top of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and we'll just summarize a three-way machlokes Tanoim that was recorded with regard to Chamin, with regard to taking a hot bath, and we had the following. According to the Braisa, Rabbi Meir is machmir, and he prohibits taking a shower, whether it's in hot water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, of course, or even in cold water. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, is matir, both hot water and cold water, and Rabbi Yehuda has the pshara, in which he prohibits hot water, but he permits cold water. And based on the Piskei Arid and the Ritva, we're going to offer the following. That in the case of Rabbi Meir, we have a gzera that if we allow you to take a shower with cold water, you'll come to take a shower with hot water. And therefore, Sonanim is Osir. The Ran has a slightly different approach. Rabbi Meir says that there's an issue of Maris Ayin. People will think that he took a hot shower and now he's taking a cold shower to cool himself off from the hot shower, because that's the way they used to bathe in those days. And we have Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and he says that Bitzonin Mutter, Pomim Rabos Odom Rochets, Rakvimayim Tzoninim. It's very common for people to take a cold shower, even though they didn't take a hot shower beforehand, so no one's going to suspect him of taking a cold shower after he took a hot shower. And it would seem that Rabbi Shimon made a very fine distinction between bathing when you go into the water as opposed to showering where the water is going on top of his body. That's not derech rechitza when he's meshafshef. Derech rechitza is when he's meshafshef gufo b'mayim, he's nichnas gufo b'mayim, and therefore Rabbi Shimon held that lishtatef is mutter, even in the case of hot water, as long as the water was heated up before Shabbos. Now the Gemara wants to deal with the question of the towels, and bringing the towels back from the Merchatz, and we have the case of a yachid, of an individual, and we have the case who's washing, bathing, and then we have the case of the rabbim who are bathing. So the Mishnah says, with regard to Rochets, that Nistapeg Afilu Bi Eser Aluntios Lo Yaviem Biyodo Lebeso. So even if he used 10 different towels, but it's he alone, there's a very limited amount of moisture that has been absorbed into the towel, but nevertheless it's prohibited. In 10 people that dried in one towel, even though obviously there's a more significant volume of moisture absorbed in the towel, but they're allowed to bring the towels back, or in this case, the single towel back. So why did the Mishnah in the Reisha mention that there were 10 towels, and in the Sefer there was only one towel? The Gemara explains, Reisha Rabusa Kamashmon V'Seifa Rabusa Kamashmon. Each one is coming to add a new chiddush. Reisha Rabusa Kamashmon Dafilu Hani Delona Fishibu Mayim. Even though he used 10 different towels, so how much water was already observed in the time? Nevertheless, came the Charu, since he's alone, no one's going to remind him and warn him that he shouldn't squeeze out the water. Osili De Schita, he might come to squeeze out the towel, the towel from its wetness, and violate the Isur Schita. But Sefer Abusa Kamashman Dafilu Hani Dinafishi Bu Mayim, even if there's a great deal of water that's absorbed, but came into Rabban Dinu, since there are 10 people that are bringing back the one single talis, which is very, towel, which is very seriously absorbed with water, nevertheless, Madkire Hadodi. They'll remind one or the other, and therefore not choshesh for schita. Now the Gemara quotes a brisa that disagrees with our Mishnah. Mistapeg Adam, we're talking about Yontif for Shabbos, Baluntis, and we're not choshesh that when he dries himself, he might come to schita. Umeinicha bechalon, and he can leave the towel on the wall, the window that's close to the wall of the merchatz. V'loim sereno l'ol yorin, he shouldn't give the towel back to the balonim who are in charge of the beis hamerchatz, the attendants. Mifnei shechashudim al oso dover, because we're afraid that they might squeeze out the towels. And this is something that we've seen before, that the balonim were not observing the law the way they should. Rabbi Shimon Omer mistapik baluntis achas umevio biyodo betoch habayis. He can dry himself off with a towel and bring it by hand into his house, even though it's absorbed with water, and we're not afraid of schita. Against the Tan of our Mishnah, who's afraid of schita and prohibits it. So that it would seem that in this brisa, we have a kula, a different approach than our Mishnah, and we're not afraid of schita. Omale Abai Rav Yosef Hilcha Samai, how do we pass it? Do we accept the Mishnah L'chumra? Or the Brisa L'kula? Omale Rav Yosef responded, Har Rabbi Shimon V'Har Rebbe, that these two sources that contradict each other each reflect the shita of Rabbi Shimon and Rebbe respectively, Vashmuel and Har Rabbi Yochanan. And if you remember, we said that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan were matir for Yochid to bring back the towel in his hand, he can carry it, and that's the way the halacha is. Now we go through piece by piece. Rav Shimon, Hodi Amarim. Rav Shimon is this Braisa who explicitly is matir for Yochid to bring back his towel to his house. Rebbe, Desanyo, he has in a Braisa, Omer Rebbe, Kshayinu Lemedim Toreitzo Rabbi Shimon, Biskoa. We were studying Torah by Rav Shimon in a place called Tkoa, which is a place of olives and oil, that they were used to olive oil over there. That's where they produced it. Anyway, Hayinu Malim Shemen Va'aluntis Mechotzel Gag Umigav LeKarpaf. We would take on Shabbos the oil in order to anoint ourselves, and the towel, which we would use to dry ourselves up. And we take it from a chotzer, which means a private courtyard of a house, legag, and we take it up to the roof of the house, and from the roof of the house to a karpef, which is a place that's outside the city that has mechitzos, and it serves as an otzar, as a kind of a storehouse area. And then Ad Shayinu Magim Eitzel Mayon Shayinu Rochzimbo. And we go as far as a certain spring where we would wash ourselves. So it seems like they didn't leave. It was assumed that we can assume that they didn't leave the towel behind in this spring, which would be a place of hefka to leave it. To leave it for anyone to just grab it, but they probably took it the same way they went. And therefore we see that Rebbe was matir for Yochid to take back his towel into his house. We're not afraid of schita. Shmuel also. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mistapeg Adam Valuntis Umevia Biyadul Tov Peso. That's about as clear as you can get. And Rabbi Yochanan also holds this way. The Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Mistapeg Adam Valuntis Umevia Biyadul Tov Peso. So Gemara asks, don't we have a contradiction now in Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, that an individual is allowed to bring back his towel? Vama Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan has a rule that whenever there's a Stam Mishnah, no Deah is mentioned, we pass like that Stam Mishnah. Tonight in our Mishnah it says about our Roche, it said in this topic, Afilu Bi Eser Aluntios Lo Yavim Biyodo. So how do we recognize Rabbi Yochanan's Kula with our Mishnah? Hahu Kiben Chachinai Masli. Rabbi Yochanan taught this B'siv Mishnah Seinu Divrei Rab Chachinai, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan understood that our Mishnah is a Das Yochid, it's an individual dissenting view. Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ha'orlin Mevim Balore Noshim. So the Balonim, and probably anyone else for that matter, anyway, were allowed on Shabbos to bring these kind of dinim, these kind of sheets that the women would use to dry themselves up, lebei bnei, to the beis hamerchatz, and it would go through rishus harab, but only on the condition bilvachi is kaseh bahen rosham veruban. In other words, those who were carrying these dinim would have to cover their bodies, most of their bodies, with it, so that this would be Derech Malbush, and they wouldn't be carrying it in Rishus Harabim and violate the Iser Otzah. Sachnisa, they had a very large kind of a sheet, and the head was covered by this sheet, and the sides were on their shoulders. On Rabbi Ovin, Bar Rav Chizda, on Rabbi Yochanan, Tzorch L'Kasha Shnei Rasheh Zeh Bozeh L'mata, that he would have to tie the two heads on the bottom, so that when he went in Rishus Rabim, it would not fall off. V'yom Rav Chiya Bar Abba Rav Yochanan L'mata Mikseifayim, they'd have to tie it below the shoulders to guarantee that it wouldn't fall off. But in any event, you see clearly that they were bringing this sadin, you know, this kind of a sheet, for purposes of drying. Just one second. Let's read this summary here. He says that the bathhouse attendants may bring the women's towels to the bathhouse on Shabbos to facilitate their bathing in a permissible fashion, let's say cold water baths, and provided that the attendants would cover their heads and most of the bodies with the towels while walking with them. Notice they would drape them over their heads and their shoulders like a cloak, and that would allow them to go through Rishus HaRabim. And as for someone who's wearing a sachansi, a chanisa, which is a kind of a kerchief that's wrapped over the head as one leaves the bathhouse to protect one's wet hair from the elements, if he wishes to travel through a Rishus HaRabim, Tzorch L'Kasher Shnei Rashel L'mata, he must tie the two ends of the garden together below so that it won't fall off his head. So that means the two ends that would hang down over the shoulders, they have to be tied to prevent the garment from falling off, in case he might unthinkingly pick it up and carry it. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said that it has to be below the shoulders. Omar Lahu Rava Libnei Mechoza. Rava told the citizens of his town, Mechoza, Ki ma'brisu mone lebnei chele, when you bring garments for the soldiers on Shabbos, which was required by the government, and we're talking about the non-Jewish soldiers, is sharbivu lehu lamata mekseifayim. Make sure that the ends of the garments hang down below your shoulders. And again, we're talking about the Gentile troops that were stationed in Mechoza. The local residents were pressed into their service. They had to bring soldiers' clothing to them through a public domain. Rava told the townsfolk that if they have to do this on Shabbos, not to carry the cloth folded back over their shoulders, because that's like carrying, that's derech masah, but rather they should don the cloaks as if they were wearing the cloaks. So they should put the cloaks over their heads, let the ends of the garment hang down below their shoulders. Okay, now we get back to the discussion in our Mishnah about sochin, about anointing on Shabbos with oil and massaging the body. And we learned in our Mishnah, sochin, shemen al aguf umimashmishin, and he can smear the oil over his body, over his skin, and that's the pleasure of doing something like that on Shabbos. But we're going to see soon that he can't be too active in the massaging process, because that would be already tircha and uvdu the chol. Tana Rabbanon, we learned in a brisa with regard to how you should anoint your body, is sochin u'mashmishin bibnei me'ayim b'shabbos. So you're allowed to massage the intestinal area on the Shabbos, b'levad, but with one restriction, shol yaseh kederech shu'osa b'chol. He shouldn't do it the way he does on a weekday. And this means that we have an iser here of uvdu the chol hechi ovid. So in what way should he make a change from the way he would normally massage his intestinal area during the week? Is Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Omar, according to the opinion of Rabbi Chama, sachas Hashem v'yachikach mimashmish, he should first pour the oil over his skin, and only afterwards massage his skin. And that would be the exact opposite of what he did during the week, where he would first massage and then rub the oil in. But Rabbi Yochanan Omar, he has a different opinion. Sach, he should first rub the oil in, and umimashmesh bevasachas, and he should be massaging the skin simultaneously. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, during the week, there was no order. He might rub his oil in first, he might massage his skin first, but it was never done two acts simultaneously. So to make it different on Shabbos, we require that he do both the pouring the water, the oil and the massage simultaneously. The Mishnah says, Avalomis Amlin, but we cannot massage vigorously with a lot of work and bekoach. And that's an issue of Uvdin de Chol. Omer Rab Chiyah bar Abba, Omer Rab Yochanan, Osur Lamod Bekarka Iso Shel Diom Ses, forbidden to stand in the mud of a river called Diom Ses. And that's a river that has very salty water. Mipneshim Ma'ameles Umerapa. It heats up the body and it heals the body, because of the ground, or the mud that's on the bottom of the river, that's going to heat up his body. Om Rav Yudam Arav, Kol Yomer Shel Diomsas, Esrim V'Echad Yom. There are only 21 days out of the year when this Diomsas river has this therapeutic power. V'Atzeres Min HaMinyan. And all, he didn't know exactly when you begin counting the 21, when you end, but he knew that Atzeres, that Shavuos time, was included in the count. Toshma, the Omar Shmuel, Kulo Shakyone, all those drinks that that are healthy, I'm sorry, I skipped a line, is he boilu at seres lahaigisa lahaigisa? Where do we place Shavuos itself? We know that it's in the minion of the 21 days, but the Gemara wants to know, does Shavuos mark the beginning of the 21 period or the end of the 21-day period. And Toshma, the Yom Shmuel, Shmuel says that all kinds of healing drinks are at their best from Pesach until Atzeres. Divcha is the word for Pesach because it's the Aramaic counterpart of Zevach, which is a reference to the Korban Pesach. And from Pesach until Atzeres, these drinks are most effective, meaning they are most therapeutic. Whatever therapeutic beverages or liquids we're talking about, they are most effective during this period of time from Pesach until Shavuos. So we see clearly that Shavuos is the end of the 21 period. Now, I'm not sure why he calls it a 21-day period. Oh, I guess as far as the river is concerned, the Dionysus River, that's most effective for 21 days. And the therapeutic drinks are effective for a longer period of time, let's call it 49 days, but from Pesach until Shavuos. So that's the period of time where these therapeutic methods are most effective. So we're assuming sort of like that there are a number of healthy brews, B-R-E-W-S, and the Gemara mentions them back on Daf Kuf Yud, and the best time to use these various brews are during the early spring between Pesach and Shavuos. And logically, the Gemara makes the analogy that the same should be true with regard to the Dionysus River, that the period that's most healthful to benefit from this river is this period that culminates on Shavuos. So the Gemara rejects this. Dilma hasam hu dekama dekorir olma ma'alma. When you're talking about drinking therapeutic brews, B-R-E-W-S, right, then that's most therapeutic to cool you off. You know, the shtia is lerfua, when the avir, when the air is cool. And the cool air is beneficial for this refuah. And if we put Atzeres, which is moving towards the summer, at the end of this period of time, so we still want the cool air. Aval hacha, but in the case of going into this Dionysus River, then mishum havlahu. On the contrary, it's the heat that warms up the body, and that's the healthy part. Kevin dechamin alma tfeimala. And if the outside air is hotter, then this bathing would be even more beneficial, more effective. So therefore it makes sense that we kick off the period from Atzeres rather than terminate it with Atzeres. The Gemara now tells us how people were so nimshach, they looked for very good quality wine, and shtiyas yayin meshubach the achar achitza benar diomsis. After they would bathe themselves in this river, and that was very pleasurable, and then they would drink wine. I mean, they were really into it. Amra bichelbo, chamra de frogisa. Okay, there's a state called Frogisa, and the wine of that state, plus Maya Diomsis and the hot water of this river, Kipchu Aseres Hashvatim MiYisrael. In other words, we lost the 10 tribes of Israel because of this wine and this water. Now we know that from Malachim Beis that the 10 tribes of the northern part of Israel were exiled into Assyria, and they were lost from the Jewish people, in effect. The Gemara identifies the sin which precipitated this exile as their excessive involvement in material pleasures, like the wine and the water that we mentioned before. They got so involved in these hedonic pleasures, these pursuits, that they forsook the Torah. They adopted an alien lifestyle, and that's where we lost the 10 tribes. And now the Gemara is going to tell us a story about one of the great Tanoim, who also, we almost lost him to these pleasures, and that is Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, a very famous story about Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Ikla lahasam. So he found himself near this river, and Imshik Basrayu, he got schlepped along with, you know, sucked into these pleasures. He started drinking the wine and bathing there, and he Akar Talmude, he forgot all of his Talmud. Now, I wouldn't say he forgot it all, but at least he wasn't really, at least on an acute level, he wasn't aware of his learning. And that could happen to someone who gets so involved in other things. There's actually a version of this story in Koheles Rabbah, a little bit more expanded, that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was one of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan, the outstanding disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai during the siege, the Roman siege of Yerushalayim. After Rabbi Yochanan died, his students established the academy in Yavne, but Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch did not follow them. He settled in his wife's local city, in the town of Emmaus, which is right near the waters of the Dionysus. He waited for the other students to join him. He was the most exceptionally, the most outstanding Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai students, and his wife already convinced him that he shouldn't follow them, instead they should be following him. At the end, what happens is the other students remained in Yavne, Rabbi Elazar would remain down in Emmaus. He was isolated, cut off from the other students, and he began to forget the Torah that he learned. Ki Hadar, when later on he came back from that region, and he came back to his city, Asa kam lemikri besifra, I guess they called him up for an aliyah to read from the Torah, and ba lemikra hazeh hakodesh hazeh lachem, he was up to the pasuk in Parshas Bo, and instead of reading it hakodesh hazeh lachem, he read it Omar acheresh hoya libam, meaning was their heart silent. So again, he knew how to read, but he unintentionally mispronounced the words. And there are a lot of letters here that are similar. Instead of HaChodesh, he read it HaChereish. So the Dalet he read is a Reish. And symbolically, I guess he was saying that his heart was silent. I mean, he was oblique. You know, he had forgotten his Torah learning. His Bo Rachmana Rabbanan Rachmi Alei, and the Chachomim prayed to Hashem to give mercy upon him, Vahada Talmuda, and as a result, he was Nizkar Bit Talmuda. Behindu Disnan, and that's what we learned in our Mishnah concerning this story of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, and this is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the fourth parak. Rav Noroi Omer, Hevi Gola L'makom Torah. You should exile yourself to a Makom Torah, even if you think you're a Talmud Chacham, but if you're not with other Talmud Chachamim, that's not a good sign. That's not a good place to be. V'al Tomer, and don't make a declaration, Shehi Tavo Achrecha, that the Torah will come after you. Notice, if you're a scholar, then no matter what, don't be tempted to say that the other scholars are my students, let them come to me. Rather, settle amongst them, even if it means you have moving, you have to move, but settle amongst your colleagues, your Talmidei Chachamim. And Shechavercha Yikaimua Biodecha, that your friends who are Talmidei Chachamim, your colleagues, when you're near them, you're in their kirvas makom, you're amongst them, then tiskai mator biyodecha, they will cause that the Torah will remain with you. V'el binoscha al tish'an, don't rely on your own bina, your own wisdom. When you live in isolation, it's very difficult to retain your Torah knowledge, and slowly but surely you begin to lose it and forget it. You learn a new Gemara, then you'll forget the original Gemara, the previous Gemara that you learned. But when you're together with Talmidei Chachamim, Rashi points out, they'll ask you questions, and you'll be more involved in many many different areas of the Torah, so you won't forget that part of the Torah that you've already learned. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Lo Rabbi No Roy Shmo. His real name is not Rabbi No Roy, Ella Rab Nechemi Shmo. The Amrila and others say Rabbi Loza Ben Arach Shmo. Loma Nikra Shmo Rab No Roy. Why was he nicknamed Rav No Roy? Shemanir Enei Chachomim Balocha. He lights up the eyes of the Talmidei Chachomim in Halocha. So No Roy comes from the word Nahar, to shine or to illuminate. And Rav Loza Ben Arach was a wellspring of Torah. He was a Mayan HaMisgaber. And his wisdom outweighed the wisdom of all his colleagues. But nevertheless, he forgot his Torah, despite this lofty achievement, when he was in isolation from his colleagues. Now we go back to the Mishnah, after that short digression. And the Mishnah says, Avalo misgorim. We're not allowed to scrape the skin. And that's on Shabbos, because that's called Uvdu the Choltan Rabbanon, in Gorin ba Migreres b'Shabbos, a kind of special utensil, which is called a Migreres, and that we're not allowed to use. That's an instrument which is made of ivory or metal that was used in old times to scrape the skin at the bath. And that is a typical weekly activity which is prohibited. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. However, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, im hayu raglav meluchlochos betit ubitsoa, if his legs became soiled with excrement or with mud, gorer b'kidarko, then, according to Rav Shimon, he's allowed to scrape his skin the same way he would do during the week, and he's not violating any Iser. So it means that during the week he would generally scrape his skin to provide physical relief. But if he's scraping his skin to remove mud or excrement, then that's for the sake of cleansing himself. That's a different purpose. That's not for the sake of physical relief. And in these cases, scraping no longer qualifies as uvdin the chol, and therefore it's mutter. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda avdale ime migrorta de kaspa. Rabbi Shmuel's mother would make him a kli. We mentioned about that kli for a scraper that was made out of silver, and it was a special kli that was designated for Shabbos use, and therefore it was not a standard weekday activity, and therefore it was not uvdin the chol. The Mishnah says, "Ein yordim le." Now we're talking about a river by the name of Kardima. Okay, the Kardima River. We don't go to bathe in the Kardima River on Shabbos. My taima. What's the reason? Mishum pika. The danger of slipping. We're afraid he might fall into the water, and then once again, if he falls into the water, then he will get his clothes wet, and then he might come to Schita. So apparently the banks of this river were very slippery, and it was very likely a person would fall and soak his clothes, which he might be tempted to wring them out, because he was his clothes were drenched. V'ein osin apikrit, afikta reason is a kind of emetic, we said, we called it in English, which means it causes you to vomit. And we don't cause a person to vomit on Shabbos. Omer Rabba bar Rakhonam Rabbi Yochanan lo shonu, this only applies ela b'sam aval b'yad mutter. So again, if he's taking this kind of a drug, then that comes under the Iser of Refuah and the Chashash of his doing Tchina, Shchika Samamonim. But if he uses his hand to induce vomiting, he thrusts his finger down his throat, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Tanya, we learned to the Braiser of Nechemi Omer, Af Bechol Asur Mipnei Hefseid Ochlin. You're not allowed to do this even during the week because you are causing the loss or the waste of food that's in your stomach. Now, again, we're not talking about a sick person here. Apparently, they were inducing vomiting in a certain Roman kind of pagan culture that after you ate gluttonously, you want to eat more, so you cause yourself to vomit. It's hard to believe, but that's what they did. And that's considered hefsed ochlin. That's considered a waste of food, and it is osur. If he induces vomiting to relieve discomfort from overeating, this is permissible, at least during the week, and possibly even on Shabbos if he uses his finger. The Mishnah says, Ein ma'atzvin es hakotan. This has to do with straightening the limbs of an infant. Omar Rabba bar Rachanan Rab Yochanan, Leflufle Yenuka b'Shabbos Shapur Domi. You're allowed to wrap the infant on Shabbos, because if his bones are soft and they're bent because of the contractions during the experience of birth, then you would swaddle the infant tightly in cloths and secure them with a belt and straightening its bent limbs, and that is mutter. So the Gemara objects from Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, V'anan t'nan ein ma'atzmin. We don't straighten the limbs of an infant. Hossam, the Gemara answers, b'chumrei shidra. In our Mishnah, we're speaking on the spinal vertebrae, to align the spinal vertebrae. And that's where the Mishnah limited its isur to aligning the vertebrae that has slipped from the proper place in the spine. Again, we're not talking about an emergency situation. And de merce kibona, the reason why the Mishnah prohibits this kind of procedure is because it has the appearance of bona, of building. And as we've discussed on more than one occasion in the past, building applies even to the body of a human being. Now, let's keep in mind that the iser of the spinal of aligning the spinal vertebrae applies only a certain time after birth. On the actual day that the child is born, then we consider the child, anything that makes the child more comfortable comes under pikuach nefesh. And in pikuach nefesh, of course, we override any of the Isurim of Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Ein machzirin sashever, we may not set a broken bone on Shabbos. And by the way, this is not la'aloch, as we'll soon see. Omar Rabbi China Bagdosa, Omar Shmuel, and here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amid Aleph. Halacha Machzirin Es HaShever. Now we paskin Halacha, not like it says in the Mishnah. Perhaps Shmuel had a different gears in the Mishnah. Instead of we may not set a bone, we may set a bone, a broken bone. And this comes under what's called Sakonas Eiver. If a limb of the body is in danger, then we violate the Shabbos. Rabba bar bar chana ikla lefum pedisa. He came from Eretz Yisrael to Pupedisa. Lo ol lefirke de Rabbi Yehuda. He did not attend the shir of Rabbi Yehuda, who was the head of the academy in Pupedisa. Shadre liada dayola. So that Rabbi Yehuda wanted to get a rabba to come to the shir, so he sent Ada, his attendant, to Rabba bar bar chana. Omar Leizil Garbe, he instructed his attendant Ada to go and confiscate his cloak until he comes. That's the way Rashi interprets the sugya. So Rabbi Yehuda was in such a strong desire that Rabba would attend the shir, because he was this prominent Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda probably wished to hear what this scholar had to add to the teaching, to the subject that they're being studied, and therefore he had his coat confiscated. Ozil Gabe. So now they went and they confiscated his cloak, Garbe. And Rabba came into the shir when Rabbi Yehuda was expounding that you're not allowed to set the bone, a broken bone on Shabbos, which we have in our, as our Girsan HaMishnah. Malay, Rabbi Archana said to Rabbi Yehuda, when he heard this, Hachi Omar Rav Chana Bagdata Omar Shmuel Halacha Machzirin Es HaShever. Then in fact, you do set a broken bone on Shabbos. Malay, so Rabbi Yehuda replies, Hachana Didan V'Hashmuel Didan. Chana is ours and Shmuel is ours. In other words, they both reside here in Bavel. Velo shamile. And yet, I never heard it. Vela bedina garbatech. Now, was it not right that I had your garment confiscated? Meaning, had you not come, we wouldn't have learnt this from you. This was so critical that you had to come and join us and teach us this. Mishnah Nifaka B'yado, the Mishnah says that if one's hand or foot became dislocated, he may not massage them in cold water. So Gemara tells the following story. Rav Avya Haviyosef Kamid Rav Yosef. Rav Avya was sitting in the presence of Rav Yosef. Shanya Le, or Shanya Le Yedei, and it was on Shabbos, and Rav Avya's hand had become dislocated. So he wanted to know what type of therapy he's allowed to practice in this case. Omer Lay, and he offered various options, demonstrating various therapeutic practices, and said to Rav Yosef, Hachimai, in other words, which one is permissible? And Asar. Also, Rav Yosef seems to say that they're all prohibited. V'hachimai, then he tried a different practice. He says, what's the law in this practice? Omer Lay also, that also is also. Adahachi itfach yodei. In the meantime, during this masu matin, back and forth, these demonstrations, Rav Avi's hand became healed. Omer Lay, Rav Yosef said to him, mighty boiloch. Now, what was your question? Now, what were you thinking when you thought that we might permit therapy? Hatanan, doesn't it say explicitly in Mishnah, Misha Nifaka Yodo Raglo Lo Yitarfein Bitsone? You know, if his hand or foot becomes dislocated, he's not allowed to massage him in cold water. Avarochets Kidarkum Nisrapi Nisrapi. You want to bathe and then you might be healed, that's fine. So the Mishnah indicates that any type of massage or therapy is forbidden because it's clear and obvious that this is the intent for medicinal purposes, to help the hand. On Malay, so Rav Avya, in a rhetorical question, he says, but in the very same Mishnah, it says, Ein machzirin es hashever, and yet Omer Rav Chana Bagdasomer Shmuel, Halacha machzirin es hashever. Then, in fact, we do set the broken bone. If we're amending that part of the Mishnah, then maybe we should amend this part of the Mishnah as well, as far as the Nifaka Yodo is concerned. Amalei, so Rav Yosef replied, Kula Bechada Machitna Machisna? He asked him in a rhetorical question, are all parts of the Mishnah woven with the same weave? Certainly not. Hechad Itmar Itmar, Hechad Lo Itmar, Lo Itmar. In other words, when we have an explicit emendation in the Mishnah, that's fine. But if it wasn't, if there was no emendation, then we presume that we're not going to change the language of the Mishnah. So therefore, the Mishnah rules that massaging a dislocated bone in cold water is forbidden. And that seems to be the Maskana. But the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that manually, if you reset the dislocated bone in its joint, is permissible. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that by suggesting that massaging is prohibited only when the dislocation is a minor one, and when the dislocation is complete, then it's permitted even to reset the bone. Not to do so immediately would endanger the entire limb. Hadra Nalecha Perek Chavis. And we're about to begin the 22nd perek of Masechta Shabbos, and that's Perek Shorim.